the more I learn about marketing and doing good business, it's about the art of numbers, right? Do you understand your number story? How do you talk about them? And a lot of tech is good design.
This is Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, a podcast that explores why Montana leads the nation in entrepreneurship and business startups. I'm Arnie Sherman. Molly Bradford is the quintessential Jill of all trades. Arriving in Missoula with a degree in math and German, she spent 15 years in a variety of marketing and advertising positions. In 2009, Molly dove headfirst into the Montana startup ecosystem. She became partners with local musician Colin Hickey at MissoulaEvents.net. Over the next 4 years, this online events calendar morphed into Gatherboard. Gatherboard is a responsive website calendar with personal customization and monetizing options. Its software is geared towards small to medium-sized communities and companies. To date, 44 of them have licensed the platform. In 2019, Gatherboard enhanced its service, launching an app that lets mobile users integrate the program with other applications. Molly hopes this will give Gatherboard a foot in the door to big markets, tracking a huge number of events without overwhelming the user. Today on Can Do Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, Molly Bradford tells us about her passion for the intersection of art and business and describes how her other venture, Missoula Indoor Ads, has bootstrapped the company's software development. Production support for Can Do comes from the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives, and from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans, and from Blackfoot, providing communication solutions for Montana businesses, plus opportunities like C2M Beta, an innovation lab aimed at helping startups thrive. C2MBeta.com. Molly, it's good to see you. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Arnie.
Where did the idea for Gatherboard come from?
My business partner, Colin, and I already had MissoulaEvents.net, and the internet was becoming more ubiquitous and handheld. We didn't realize that it was a bit of a search engine optimization, an SEO machine. And we had people approaching us from other parts of the United States saying, I want your calendar. And we were like, it's not for sale. It's not replicable. And after the third or fourth request, we thought, maybe it should be. So that's how we got together, Board.
It had incarnations in its previous life. What was the transference from one to the other?
Yeah, totally. Colin originally started Garden City Events. He was a musician originally and in promotion of his own band and others, and realized that Missoula needed a nightlife calendar. And his brothers are also musicians, and one of his brothers is in IT and has some buddies in programming. And they said, don't do just nightlife, do an entire calendar for Missoula. So Colin launched Garden City Events, and then it was owned for a little while by NewWest.net, which was an early venture-funded online-only news journal based here in Missoula that covered real estate growth and economic development news in the Rockies from the Canadian to the Mexican border. Colin's brother advised him to have a buyback clause, which was brilliant, should that venture go under. And New West did great for a while, and then the real estate boom happened, and then the real estate bust happened, and Colin exercised his buyback clause. So that's when he and I became business partners 10 years ago in 2009. And we had Missoula Events, Bozeman Events, Boise Events, and a partnership with the Flathead Beacon in the Flathead area of Montana called Flathead Events.
How hard is it to gather all the events? I know I've traveled to cities, bigger cities like New York, and you can't find one source that lists everything. So how do you get all your content?
The bigger the city, I actually think the harder it is because it's overwhelming and everybody isn't interested in the same things. So in Missoula, when we started, about 80% of the events were procured by us. Colin had a whole spreadsheet of who he was emailing and calling on what days of the weeks of the month. Now that's flipped, and actually even more so, I would say 90 to 95, the community hits the submit button and submits the event. And in our other cities where we have license holders, it's the same thing. They do some procurement in the beginning, but now that the internet is something that people are pretty comfortable with and it's very handheld, folks in their communities hit the submit button pretty quickly and readily.
How does that get curated?
So each license holder gets to choose what their definition of their community is. So there are a lot that are like Missoula. It's a geographic community and it's a catch-all, right? Diapers to diapers, right? Being, you know, babies, teens, adults, families, seniors. So for us in Missoula, and we really preach this with Gatherboard as well, that when you're doing a community events calendar, if it's legal and it's kind and it follows the general rules of advertising or journalism, right? There's no blasphemy, it's not offensive, then let it be on your calendar because you are not the only person in your community. However, we have other really specific communities. A new site just came on in Florida that's only about local bands and musicians. So she's put totally different categories and subcategories and is curating her calendar very differently than Missoula is.
And then you have other kinds of customers, like a Four Seasons resort, for example.
If there are any Four Seasons resorts out there, we would love to do a Four Seasons resort. We have a few of those actually in negotiation right now, but we don't have any resorts right now. However, that would be slightly different because they would be using the calendar specifically for the different venues and seasonality of their resort. But something analogous to that is right now looking at calendars for retirement communities, which would also be similar to a resort. They will have the use of our venue module will be about the specific venues at that senior living or retirement community, and it will be more of a closed calendar for that community than probably a wide open calendar.
Without divulging any specifics, what's the revenue model for our Gatherboard?
We operate with annual licensing agreements based on monthly recurring fees or annual fees. People can choose to pay a few different ways. And it's slightly altruistic. It's tiered based on the size of the core user group of your community. So we pull that either by census, if it's a physical community, and we have a formula for how much we remove because young people and, you know, extreme seniors are not core users, or it's based on Google Analytics if it's more of a virtual community.
Who's your competition?
I would say we have three or four major calendars that we compete against, other softwares like ours, a few of them venture funded, a few not. But really, when we started thinking about this seriously and implementing it 6 or 7 years ago, it went from a few competitors to hundreds of calendaring solutions, whether it's Google's free solution or WordPress and Wix and Weebly and all of those blog and website platforms that have 27 different calendar plugins you can choose from. We have yet to find someone who operates as a fully freestanding calendaring platform and have stuck by that as our major point of difference.
And that's your competitive advantage.
That is our competitive advantage.
You were engaged in the marketing and advertising sector for a long time. Why did you make the decision to jump into this specific venture?
A couple different reasons. One was a personal turn of events. Colin and I had this side gig going and it was getting some momentum, and then I got fired from a job, so I made it my permanent gig. So necessity, which was a great slap in the face by the universe, and it's working. So woo, hallelujah. Also, as I was having kids and the internet was sort of taking over our lives, I felt a lot of freedom, but also I felt really afraid for how many parts of the internet make people feel lonely and excluded. And I saw an opportunity to create a technology where people were invited, and the end goal was to get humans of like interest in the same room together. So tech for human connection.
You mentioned the freedom that the internet provides. And this coming year, you're doing something with your family that's a little unusual, mm-hmm. aren't you? Why don't you share that with our listeners?
Yeah, that's a pretty cool setup there, Arnie. So I am going to run Gatherboard from Mexico, and my kids are going to go to a bilingual school for a semester, and my husband will travel back and forth a few times throughout the semester. And that is right there, for me, the epitome of the flexibility of internet and technology.
You have other involvements in Missoula. I know you're going to put those on hold for a while when you're in Mexico and then come back to them. But tell us about this immersion that you have into the entrepreneurial ecosystem.
Yeah. You know, because I haven't lived somewhere else, I've been in Missoula now for 21 years. I can't speak really comparatively of what it's like in other towns. But when I went to the University of Vermont, I grew up in Milwaukee. I also went to the University of Salzburg. So I do keep in touch with people in other parts of the country. And my siblings live in other hotspots in the Rockies and are entrepreneurs or in this tech realm as well. And my dad started a company when he was 20. So I grew up in an entrepreneurial household. And I feel like it's really easy to go deep in Missoula and be really cared for and care for others. It's pretty cool, actually. It's just the right size and all the right things are happening. So I've been involved with and attend and speak at the Hellgate Venture Network. I have been a mentor through Pursue Your Passions, which is called PYP sometimes. And it's a program the University of Montana developed to get more women into entrepreneurship. I guest lecture in some classes at the University of Montana, and as a result, find from both that and PYP a lot of amazing interns to help me continue to run really lean. I also have received a lot of help from the Blackstone Launchpad on the University of Montana campus and the Small Business Association, have had different economic gardening and economic development grants that I've received. So I've just worked hard to find out where I can get the most amount of free money and free help, but then also what the next step is so that I can pay it forward.
You mentioned that you mentor people. Do you have a mentor?
I have a couple mentors, for sure. My dad is definitely one of them, because he was 20 and my mom was 19 when they got married and he started his real estate company. And I have learned a lot about honest integrity sales. I just grew up in that environment. And then here in Missoula, it's probably too many to mention, to be quite honest. I don't just have one person who's my go-to, but it's a collection of probably six people that I would say, as some people say, I have in my kitchen cabinet, you know, which spice is the right spice for this meal. So, and I actually really recommend that because not every person is the right person for my question.
Molly, let me talk about money. I know that this was probably bootstrapped, and I know one of your other ventures, Missoula Indoor Ads, has played a role in that. So tell me about that part of the business.
Our company, HB Enterprises, actually owns three businesses: Missoula Indoor Ads, MissoulaEvents.net, the original site, so we are our own license holder, essentially, and Gatherboard, the freestanding software platform. In addition to a small local bank loan, we bootstrapped the project with all of the revenues from Missoula Indoor Ads. And I'll just tell you what Missoula Indoor Ads is for people out there who are like, what's an indoor ad? So outdoor ad, billboard. Indoor ad is a catch-all for a lot of things, but generally it's the signage that you would find in high traffic locations like a cafe, a restaurant, a bar, a health club, and it's in their bathrooms, stalls, urinals, maybe by the hand dryers. And we acquired Missoula Indoor Ads from New West when we bought back the websites as well. It has very low overhead and has been our personal bank, if you will, to take Gatherboard to where it is today. And I will just say, as the internet has become a bigger part of our life and we have the ability to not be at our desk all day long, the indoor ads have actually done better and better and better because so many people are out and about taking meetings or working out. People have, you know, flex time to work out as creative healthcare plans, you know, and wellness plans come together. So the busier we are and the more inundated we are with the internet, actually the more effective the indoor ads have been. That's really fun. And if I find more places to hang up frames, I can sell more ads. So it's not like time, which is finite. I just can create as much inventory as I want and I can handle.
Do you do a lot of the creative on those?
I don't. Lori works for Colin and I. She pretty much manages and runs Missoula Indoor Ads now and has done her own self-education in graphic design. However, so many of our customers have someone on staff who knows how to, you know, you make an ad that people send us pretty cool stuff, and we get stuff from ad agencies. Actually, though, we just met yesterday with an international graduate student in the media arts department from China here at UM, and he's going to do a graphic design internship for the spring while I'm gone so that we can offer a bunch of updated design to all of our local businesses who don't have the ability to do graphic design, and they're all going to get some free ads.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that.
How do you divide the responsibilities between you and Colin, your co-founder?
So early on, it was 50-50, and we own everything 50-50. Then his job really took off. Colin helps run VidCon, which is a really cool content creation conference with events now, five or six different events around the world. But the main one is in the summer in Anaheim. And they've been acquired by larger companies. So as he got busier, we brought on Lori, and she took over a lot of the stuff that Colin did. So I'm the CEO. I run the show. Lori is the linchpin that makes sure everything happens at the right time. And then Colin and I troubleshoot now on major choices. Funding, new features, how to deal with this thing that's not working, etc.
And what are your plans for the growth of this? You have 44 licenses now. How do you see this growing?
This past year, we've had tremendous growth. We're up 35 or 40%, and it's all fairly organic. It's through a combination of SEM, search engine marketing, paid search, good SEO, search engine optimization. Every license that launches is its own little SEO machine. We have that written into the software, both to help the license holder and us. And because 99% of my customers live away, I do all of my business through live video demos. So I'm just going to keep plugging away in Mexico the way I have been. However, I have a couple lunkers on the line, so we'll just take some collective good luck right now, that could double or triple my business in 2020. And that has led me down a path where now I am very seriously thinking about what's next. Because when I was starting Gatherboard, I was also trying to get pregnant with my second kid. And William was born 3 months before Gatherboard launched. So I had offers of funding at the time. And when I was pregnant with Will, I explained to people why I said no. Just that was my 10X. My baby was my 10X, not Gatherboard. So I realized I made a slow growth personal choice. And that was 7 years ago. And growth is skyrocketing, and I have a lot that I want to do and can do, and the sky's the limit, so I'm ready to scale, and now I'm educating myself on what the best choice is.
And for you, what does scale really mean?
Take it from 50 licenses to 500. Have a team in Missoula of programmers and customer service people and salespeople.
And are you energized by that possibility, or is it a little bit daunting?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I think I would be totally insane if it wasn't a little bit of both. For the past 7 years, every time someone talked to me about funding, I'd say no, and then I'd sort of second guess myself and wondering why I kept saying no, and then I finally made peace with it. Now I find myself proclaiming yes and feeling ecstatic and really confident about my product.
But as you know, taking in funding often means taking in other opinions, other voices, other participants. How do you feel about that?
I'm pretty excited about it. There's a lot that I don't know. And I have never been afraid to ask for the information in my circle of mentors or for them to refer me to someone else. I think I'm good at taking in other people's information, folding it into my vision. I also feel like I'm going to do a lot of homework and find the right partners.
Are there other products that are potentially out there for you to develop using the similar software and the similar approach that you've been using with Gatherboard?
I think there are some enhancements on my current product that are the number one reason why I would take some funding, whether that would be another bank loan, an angel round, or a go seed and just go like bonkers, right? Just really go for it. And some of those products include something, for instance, like our own ad network within Gatherboard. Let me back up real quick. Every license that launches is its own small business and has the ability to make money off the calendar. And most of that is through advertising on the site. And right now, I'm beholden to Google Ad Manager or another available ad manager, which is not actually always that easy for a really small business. So if I, one example, had my own ad manager that had a payment window within it, and every single ad on all 50 or 500 licenses that was sold and processed kicked 99 cents and 10% to Gatherboard and the rest of the license holder, that would add up to a ton of money really fast. So I have about six ideas like that.
We are speaking with Molly Bradford, co-founder and CEO of Gatherboard. Production support for Can Do comes from the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives, and from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans, and from Blackfoot, providing communication solutions for Montana businesses, plus opportunities like C2M Beta, an innovation lab aimed at helping startups thrive. C2MBeta.com. So as you look back over these past 10 years, what are the important things to know that you would share with, for example, a new entrepreneur starting out?
As a mom, my first time around with my oldest kid, who's now 13, I was the breadwinner. My husband was finishing his degree. And I went back to work when she was 7 or 8 weeks old. And that's terrible for everyone. Let's put that out there. You've had great interview on here with My Village. I mean, they're hitting the nail on the head as far as I'm concerned. So depending on your goals and values as a human and where you see your life going, I don't think that we are in a silo. And one silo is Molly, the CEO, and one silo is Molly, the mom or the wife or the community member. To me, those values go across everything that I do. So when I decided to do this venture, it was also because I was not going to take accelerated seed venture angel money. I was going to grow my family. And I realized even though my salary was going to be pretty small for a while, and luckily I had a spouse with a great salary and benefits, my availability to my kids would supersede that salary and actually has probably saved us tens of thousands of dollars in nannies or other things and afforded me the ability to be a mentor and do other really cool things in Missoula or live in Mexico for 6 months. So I would tell entrepreneurs from the beginning, think about your timeline and your goals for the next decade of your life and then make a choice that aligns with that. And then the other thing I would say is it's okay to change your choice.
You mentioned your involvement with helping to spur women entrepreneurs. What advice do you have for them?
Number one, do it. There are numerous statistics around there. Some of the more recent ones that come out are around women in politics, but they say women need to be asked 7 to 9 times before they'll run for office. Well, I think the same thing holds true in running a business or starting a business. And don't wait to be asked 7 or 9 times. If you have an idea and you're passionate about it and the numbers work, do it. And then speak unapologetically and strong about it. You are not begging for a bank loan. You are worth the bank loan. And that is a different way of speaking about yourself that doesn't make you come off as a strong, abrasive woman. If you're really passionate about it and your numbers are good, you're worthy. Do it.
Well, they also have the opportunity with the transition of family-run businesses to take over existing businesses that have a track record, that are already supported in a community, and might be a little bit less daunting for not only women, but for anybody that's concerned about starting something from scratch.
Absolutely. And I know that you have spoken about that before. And I think that that's an excellent plan as well. Not everyone that owns a business has a family member or a key employee that wants to buy it. And if you're looking at getting into business, sometimes the best thing to do is find something you're passionate about and see if there's a business for sale.
Right. Or in your case, you got into something that was already existing and you helped transform it into something that's even more relevant at moving forward.
Yeah, I never imagined when Colin and I were taking back MissoulaEvents.net and Missoula Indoor Ads that I was going to own a software company. So the other thing I think that I would recommend, and this isn't just for women, pay attention to the opportunity around you. And if you don't understand it, seek to understand. Then, if once you understand it, you'll know, oh, this works for me, this doesn't, oh, this looks like a good idea, it isn't. But pay attention to the opportunity around you. And I just would like to say, too, my motivation for women is totally driven by the fact that A, I'm a woman, B, I have a daughter, but also because for me, it's not that it's women versus men or we need more women and less men. It's that it's about parity. It's just about equity. It's not about one or the other. It's like, let's just get the numbers even. But we actually need everybody. I have as many mentors that are men as I do women, although most of my license holders are women, interestingly.
And why do you think that is?
I think because women are natural connectors. They are the gatherers of community and information. And what I am really proud of is a lot of them that are not a existing business that bought a license as a companion site, like an economic development business or a Main Street Association or a newspaper, but often it's a woman who's running that part of it. The ones that are one-offs are women entrepreneurs themselves, are because they're moms that are re-engaging in the workforce and still want to be available to their kids and are naturally connecting anyway, and now they can make money off of it. And so each license is a business. It's pretty cool.
Well, they like the product, too.
They do. They love the product.
Gatherboard is really a one-way conversation. You're putting information out there, and you're not taking feedback like many other sites do, TripAdvisor or the food sites. Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, really big reason for that, actually. Internet trolls. There are all sorts of sites with people that comment on an event or a venue or whatever it might be on Yelp or TripAdvisor or Facebook or Google reviews. For the intimate curation of a community calendar that really reflects the spirit of your city or what that community is, you would have to have someone moderating and or responding to the comments. And the amount of time that takes is no longer profitable for the amount of money that you could make. Also, MissoulaEvents.net or Gatherboard are a comprehensive directory of events. Once the event has happened, it's done. And so also people don't use it to look something up in the past to hear how the show was. Well, I guess people could say, hey, listen to this track, or I heard them in another city, you're so lucky they're coming to your town, or I hate that band, the lead singer is crazy, whatever they might write. A, the amount of time taken to review all of that and make sure nothing is vulgar or a lie or defamation of character makes it unprofitable. And in general, most people comment on an event after it happened, but no one's going back to Missoula Events to find out how that band was last week. That's not the nature of it.
Molly, you mentioned you're a tech company. So that begs the question, what technology do you use?
That's actually kind of funny because my husband will often make fun of me that I don't want to constantly update my tech tools like my phone or my computer or even my headphones. I'm a little bit of a Luddite, I will admit, about some of that. At Gatherboard, we spent the last 3 years implementing all sorts of 21st century tech tools to automate a bunch of our processes. So, for instance, putting all of our contracts into DocuSign. because we're with people all over the world, in three countries now, or automating some of our social media or blog posts pushed to social media, really updating our invoicing so that we could take online payments and have them be recurring so that we're not processing every payment or every check. So things like that. However, we also asked ourselves, as a tech company whose values are based in human connection from tech, how much tech is going to be too much for us and stop human connection. So we did put in a bunch of automated emails, hey, thanks, when someone contacts us, but I still reply to every single person that emails us. They get an automatic email. It buys me 24 to 48 hours to reply to them. So we use appropriate tech, I guess I would say. And most of my other fellow business owners use much of the same tech. It's really just that last kind of 10 or 15% that skins you as Gatherboard or as a women's clothing store downtown. Everyone's having to use a lot of the same technology to get their business done.
Tell me about your customers and how they monetize the product.
Sure. So we have the basic banner advertising on the site. We also have feature advertising where someone can promote an event, a venue page, or a tag page that they've created with one of our modules. And that part of the ad network is internal to Gatherboard. We're actually hoping to expand that into all of the advertising areas on the site. In addition to that, people can sell venue pages. They can sell tag pages. And a tag is a little different than a hashtag on Instagram or Facebook, but the same concept. A venue is a physical location, like a bar or a university or a workout facility, whereas a tag would be a shared idea like a school district or a film festival or something like that that's happening in multiple venues at once or over a period of time. So we have all these modules set up. People can sell those. And then we also have a bunch of sharing built into Gatherboard through RSS feeds, iframes, and an API. And those are sometimes confusing or technical terms for people. Instead of getting into it here, which could become even more confusing, I would just encourage people to Google RSS, iframe, or API. But basically, they're each a slightly different feed of that license, so they can share it with a community partner. For instance, in Missoula, the Chamber of Commerce, the Downtown Association, the Arts Council, the bus company, NBC Montana, numerous radio stations, and some entities at the university all buy iframes of MissoulaEvents.net instead of producing their own calendar. So when you post on Missoula Events, you post simultaneously in real time on 12 different calendars around the community. That becomes a really powerful tool for all of those partners in Missoula. So that's a big part of the monetization strategy.
You mentioned you're working in three countries. Any interesting stories about how you facilitate that from Missoula?
Actually, last week I had probably the most interesting day of my career to date. I had a brand new customer coming on in Florida, Support Your Local Band Florida. It's a side business supporting local musicians. And I have a new customer in British Columbia called Deaf BC, Deaf British Columbia. And one was a really straightforward Google Hangout. The other one, I had to use the Canadian video relay service on our smartphones while we were also on a Google Hangout on our computer and wait for the translator to sign to my potential customer. And he would sign back to her, and then she would speak back to me. And then at some times there was a pause so he could watch the screen so I could show him part of the live demo. That's a great example of tech tools at play right there. And it was cool. Canada, the United States, British Columbia, Florida, male, female, hearing, deaf. Like, what a cool day. It was awesome.
Plus, you're talking about something that was not even possible less than 10 years ago.
No, not at all.
In my intro to the show, I talked about your passion for the intersection of art and business. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that's probably good to qualify because I'm not specifically talking about the business of creating art. So I'm totally a product of my environment, as we all are. And my dad is an entrepreneur. He started this real estate company before I was born. And my mom is an artist. She's a painter and a really great watercolor painter and a prolific gardener. And I have degrees in math and German, not business and not marketing. So while my husband jokes that I got my marketing degree on the streets, which is great, really, I also feel like my whole life has been about both numbers and art. And really, the more I learn about marketing and doing good business, it's about the art of numbers, right? Do you understand your number story? How do you talk about them? Numbers are not emotional. Art is emotional. And a lot of tech is good design. Does it resonate with your customer and the end user? So that's what I'm referring to.
Molly, it was great catching up with you. Enjoy your time in Mexico. And we look forward to great things from Gatherboard.
Thanks, Arnie.
I appreciate your listening to Can Do Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, produced by Peter Hoag and Beth Ann Austin in association with Montana Public Radio. For comments, recommendations for future guests, or general information, please go to mtpr.org. There you can also find previous guests' contact information and content from all our shows. Join us next time when our guests will be the founders of Second Set Bistro, a new Montana restaurant inspired by improvisational music. Once again, I'm Arnie Sherman, wishing you peace and prosperity.